Welcome to Career Tools. This week, how to ask for a raise, researching comparable pay. Here we go. Folks, we encourage you to come to the website and take a look at purchasing one of our licenses. We have hundreds of thousands of listeners every week. Our shows are downloaded 2.8 million times a month. And yet many of you don't realize that with a license, it's only $200 a year, you get access to all of the Manager Tools and Career Tools show notes, and it gives you access to almost nine years worth of archive. We encourage you to take a look. So in our previous guidance, Wendy, about asking for a raise, we recommended you ask for a raise if you had a big success, but then the question becomes, okay, if my success is so big, shouldn't I ask you for the moon? Or better yet, how much do I ask for? And it's helpful for you to know comparable pay. Far too many people say, hear from a friend that they're making tons more. And of course, one of the rules about what your friends say about their salary is they're lying. People lie about how much they get paid and how many hours they work, folks. So we want to discuss how you can research that, how you can feel confident that what you know about the pay range that you're in is valid compared to what your friend might say. So walk us through it at a high level.
Okay, so we're going to start by using Google, because why wouldn't you? It's everywhere and has all the information you ever need. And then we're going to use some pay comparison websites.
Yeah.
We're going to look at the labor statistics. We're going to find some specific examples to use comparators. And then we're just going to remind you about salary compression, because that's important within companies.
Yeah, boy, we've talked about that before. And it seems like every time I'm at a conference and I mention that, I get some eyebrows raised that I'm talking about it as if everybody knows, and it's clear that not everybody knows. And that's the reason we're doing this stuff, obviously. Okay, let's start with Google.
Okay, so the idea of this whole researching comparable pay is that you don't want to go into your boss and say, I want an extra 10 grand, or I want an 10%.
Particularly not in that way.
Yeah, exactly. Because the first thing he's going to ask it is based on what? And you have to have something, like every figure that you present to him that you want him to approve, you have to have something to back it up. And comparable pay is part of the evidence that you use that you could be paid X or Y or Z
in another
company or in another industry. So that's why we do comparable pay.
Right.
So let's just say you're a marketing analyst in Atlanta. And if you just Google marketing analyst salary Atlanta, Georgia, you'll get a bunch of results, because that's what I did. The first return I got on Google was Indeed.com, which is a service which scrapes other job sites and aggregates them. And so they provide data from the job adverts that they host. They said that the salary for a marketing analyst in Atlanta should be around $94,000. And they also mentioned that marketing analysts in Atlanta have a salary on average 21% higher than postings nationwide. So if you're moving to Atlanta, you might expect to get a raise.
Yeah. Now, what I would say is this. When you share that data, I think there are people who go, wow, okay. But folks, remember, they're comparing Atlanta to every other city in the country. And it's safe to say that a marketing analyst, which would be probably an individual contributor role, exists all over. Whereas if you're an EVP, you're probably not an EVP, executive vice president, in Fredericksburg, Texas, a town of 10,000 people. What that means is they're comparing all kinds of jobs that exist in big towns and small towns and no-size towns. In places like Iowa, which, by the way, Iowa is a great place, and the cost of living is notably less there than it is in Chicago, or for that matter, Atlanta. So when they say Atlanta's salaries are 21% higher in marketing analysts, remember, you'll probably see Houston is higher, and New York City is a lot higher, and San Francisco is a lot higher, and maybe Phoenix is higher. So be cautious about that. They're not saying Atlanta's pay for marketing analysts is 21% higher than other big cities. You have to know what you're thinking about. And to tell you the truth, guys, you're in much better shape than when Wendy and I were doing our searches, or probably not Wendy. She's much younger than me. But for me, there was no such thing as the internet when I was looking at making searches. There were books like The 100 Best Companies to Work For, which Procter & Gamble was in, but you have more data, but you have to learn how to consume that data.
We're working from the most random, the least related to your specific role data inwards. So Indeed.com is taking data that's scraped from other sites, they're aggregating it, they're probably doing it over a couple of years. They certainly include jobs that you wouldn't describe as marketing analysts. So it might tell you it's 94,000, but you're going to take probably 30% both ways on that. And we're going to just gradually narrow it down until we've got a number that we feel comfortable with. But don't think, oh, good, I can ask for 94,000. I'm about to get a $30,000 raise, because you're not.
Right.
There's a graph on the Indeed site that shows trend in salaries.
I hate to interrupt. Okay, but not that much. I'd be willing to bet 50% of the people listening to this right now, the single most important thing is you said Indeed.com, and they didn't even know it existed.
Yeah, probably.
You guffaw, but you take it for granted, right? This
Yeah,
is what
I do.
people who
Absolutely.
think about careers think about. But no, I'd be willing to bet that 50%, if not 75% of the people listening go, the key factum there, factoid there is Indeed.com. Okay, good. I learned something from Career Tools this week. All
Hey.
right, go ahead.
So they give a couple of examples of marketing analyst titles, and they have 67 and 77,000. And if you take the average of those, it's not 94.
Really? I thought you weren't good at maths.
Even as bad as math as I am, you can work that out.
Yeah.
And the average includes much more specialized roles like modeler, predictive analyst, econometrician.
Econometrician.
Okay, which has a salary of 119,000, and that's going to pull the average up, even though it's nothing near a marketing analyst role. So you got to not read the headline, don't take one source, go back to Google and look for at least three more sources. So when I went back, I looked at Simply Hired, which is another aggregator site, Career Builder, which is another aggregator site, and Trovist, and the average on those sites was 69, 71, and 60. So it looks like an Indeed is way high at 94. And so if I average all of those out, I get 73,755. So that's my first number. And I know it's probably going to be 20, maybe 25% out, but at least I'm in the range.
And these all come from job advertisements, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, good. So the source for this is companies advertising jobs.
Absolutely. And they tend to be higher.
Right.
You don't advertise a job at the lowest salary that you're going to pay. You advertise it at the highest. So that's another reason for taking these numbers with a pinch of salt. But you've got to start somewhere, and so this is
Yeah.
where we're starting.
And look, it's way better to gather a bunch of data to look at 20 different things
Yes.
and use your own judgment about which one has the most value. And if you're wondering, send us an email and let us know, particularly if you're a licensee. Okay, good.
Okay, so the next source is pay comparison websites. So there's a number of these. They're kind of crowdsourced a lot of the time. You give your salary and job details to the website, and in return, they give you the information about the average in your area. They use the data you give them to produce the average. So you have to give them something before they'll give you the
Yeah, in
average.
some cases you can only see the details if you give yours,
Absolutely.
and you they are anonymized, and they are I found them useful. Now, guys, we're going to talk about this for just a minute, but I want to make a brief step aside here, tangent. We're going to skim the top of pay comparison websites, okay? Because we're talking about getting a raise, and this is an important step, but not the most important step. The most important step in asking for a raise is the timing of it and making sure you've just hit a home run. We talked about that in our early guidance on this topic about looking for how to ask for a raise. But we're going to talk about some websites now that we will revisit in later casts to help you understand. Now, those casts will be, as this one somewhat is, somewhat more timely. And what we mean by that, for those of you who don't know, is that we try very hard at Manager Tools and Career Tools to do what we call timeless casts that will work 5, 10, 15, 25 years from now. There's only one Manager Tools cast that I consider to be timely, and it's the one about social media. And we can prove that it was timely because it's called the MySpace cast, because at the time we did it, less than 10 years ago, since we've only been doing podcasts here in 2014 for 9 years, MySpace was dominant over this other smaller site called Facebook. And we go around the horn every once in a while at meetings about whether or not we should call it the Facebook cast. I'm sure there are people who listen to who see MySpace cast and say, why would I want to listen to that?
There's probably some people listening who don't even remember what MySpace was.
Yeah, or I've never heard of it, right?
Yeah.
Every once in a while, people give me a hard time and say, I can't believe your standard is timeless. Well, there's enough timeless stuff that I'd rather not have something out there that 5 years from now is obsolete and people get confused, because our fear is that people don't know any better and misuse our guidance, and we don't want that. So we're going to give you more information about pay comparison websites. They are an important part, particularly job searches. But this here, we're talking about how to ask for a raise, and it's part of comparing pay. But we don't want to go through it in inordinate detail. If we put everything in this cast, we would then have a problem with the fact that the guidance on using these sites would be buried in how to ask for a raise rather than in the more broad topic that is more likely to have people wanting to know about pay comparison sites, which is job changes.
So again, we're going to do a similar search on Google, but instead of looking for job boards in the results, we're going to look for Glassdoor or salary.com. They're two big ones right now.
Okay, so hold on. Your lovely British accent. Let's be clear, folks. What she said was Glassdoor, much like glass ceiling, only that is glassdoor.com, and it's a great site for information about pay. Salary.com. And some other sites with salary. And then there's some others as well. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we really looked at Glassdoor, salary.com, USA Wage, and salaries by city.
USAWage.com, USAWAGE.com, right?
Exactly. And salaries by city is quite long. So salaries hyphen by hyphen city, period.
Dot. Yeah.
Findthedata.org, which is quite a long one, but I'm sure if you Google it, you'll find it. So that's what I did. I did a Google search. I looked for marketing analyst in Atlanta once I got to the websites, exactly the same as I had done for the first one. And the salaries that came up on the different sites were 67, 56, 59, 65. So if you average that out, it's only 62, which means the job adverts were about 10,000 above the salary that people are getting. And that's, as we said, that's no surprise, because job adverts are usually advertised at the highest range because they want to attract candidates. So now we've got a couple of numbers. We know we're somewhere probably between 50 and 80. It's probably too big still, but we're narrowing it down. So the next thing we're going to look at is the labor statistics. So most countries' governments produce labor statistics in order to help local government and companies plan for the future. And if your country doesn't, you can use the international organizations such as the UN, but they're at a much higher level than the detail that, for instance, the Bureau of Labor Statistics produces for the US. In the UK, you want to look at the National Statistics Agency. I don't know what they're called in the other countries. If you have difficulty finding it, email us and we'll try and help you. So if you've ever worked in HR or a small company, you've contributed to these statistics, because every now and again you get an email, a letter from the government, and it says you must fill this in, and you have to write how many people are being paid, how much for what job titles. And they also take information from payrolls and tax information, so it's pretty useful information. So the Atlanta metropolitan area has the 10th highest employment level of marketing analysts, which would generally mean higher average wages. If there's more demand, there's more higher wages.
And this goes back to the issue of a nationwide survey. And why would Atlanta be in the top 10? Because it's one of the 10 biggest cities in the country, folks. Now, there are some notable exceptions to that generalized rule that you're going to be in the top 10 if you're one of the 10 biggest cities. Some of it has to do with tech and finance, tech being Silicon Valley, finance being New York. That's an oversimplification. But don't get excited that, ooh, Atlanta's in the top 10, because that only makes sense. If Atlanta was in the top 30, but it was one of the 10 biggest cities, you'd have to assume that marketing analysts were relatively underpaid in Atlanta, as an example. So you need to be a wise consumer of some of the data. You need to think about the data as information rather than just data points. And if you don't really know what you're doing, feeling strongly one way or the other about what it tells you suggests that you may not understand. You're turning the data into information that would be inaccurate or unhelpful to you.
and the data won't be helpful. If you come to your boss with a bunch of data that you haven't reviewed critically and you yes. haven't thought about, you're just wasting the time that you've spent doing this. Yep. So you have got to think about it critically. And a high employment level doesn't always mean higher wages. So in Boston and Chicago, for marketing analysts, it's actually lower. Even though it should be higher by economic standards, the salaries are lower. So if you're in Boston and Chicago and you're a marketing analyst, you might want to move. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Folks, that too was an oversimplification.
It was, yeah. Huge. Just move halfway across the country. So the Bureau of Labor Statistics gives an average for marketing analysts of $65,450. Now, when we go to our boss, we want to have, like I just said, you don't want to have a bunch of data that you just threw together and didn't look at critically. You've got to make it match your job, your area, and some other things so that it's a really accurate comparison. You, as far as possible, you need to compare apples to apples. So right now, with all our averages, we're on a salary of 67,000, roughly.
Yeah, but I would think at this point, we don't want to average, right? We want to remember the BLS at 65,450. The job advertisements was 73. And the average is 62,249 for the pay comparison websites. So we really have three different averages. And of course, you can't average averages because it implies equal weighting, which is... You know, it would give BLS the equivalent of four pay comparison website things. But each of those data are useful to you in terms of thinking about things. And as you do more of this research, you'll understand more why you feel more strongly that this bit of data seems better to you than that bit of data. And it's not always this bit of data is better because it's higher.
No.
Okay.
So I guess a different way of looking at that is that we're now in a range between 73 and 62. The averages are in a range.
Yeah, and if you wanted to, if you did nothing more than that, and you're making 55, you could say the range for this position is 62 to 73 based on this. Or you could say 62 to 73, and 62 to 73 is a $10,000 range or an $11,000 range on a $60,000 salary is within a reasonable range for a lady or a gentleman having this discussion. It'd be better if it were narrower. It would imply more research. But you get too narrow, and it looks like you're counting to the third or fourth decimal point when, in fact, you're adding up single decimal points.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't ask for $73,304 because you just look like you did something really weird.
Yeah. On the other hand, saying I want 70 is also a bad move. Generally, the ask should be for a non-round, round, round kind of number. Yeah. Because a round number, a really round number like 70 or 60, suggests no research at all. Yeah,
exactly.
Good. Good. Okay. Sorry I've interrupted too many times. Go ahead.
That's all right. So we're going to get more specific and look for jobs which are really comparable to yours. So that means they need to be in a similar geographic area, have similar job duties.
Yeah, now listen to what she's saying here, folks. Go, Wendy, go slowly here. What we're doing, we're trying to find an example. We're trying to come up with some examples. And the idea is with the criteria Wendy's going to lay out, you know, you'll be able to weight, if you will, the various examples you come up with. So you can say, here's probably the best one of all of those. So take them one at a time. Go slow. Okay.
So in a similar geographic area, which means the same metropolitan area or the same city.
Yeah, ideally, you want an Atlanta datum. Yeah, good.
Okay. Have similar job duties.
So the econometrician one falls out of the role, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Be at a similar managerial level.
Yeah, and that's a little harder to tell, guys, because probably for a marketing analyst, it screams individual contributor. But there are all kinds of frontline managers today who are called director, and that's simply title inflation because 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, director meant manager of managers. And then things get even more messy as you go higher than that.
That's why you look at the job duties, because titles rarely tell you anything.
Exactly.
So you need similar educational requirements. So if you need a degree to do your job, you need to find jobs that also need a degree.
Yep.
And have similar experience requirements. So if you needed to work in your job for 5 years before you were considered a fully fledged marketing analyst, then you need to find another job where it's 5 years experience. So we're going to go back to the job boards and find several job advertisements that more or less describe your role and have a salary which is around the number that you're looking for now that you have the marketing data.
And you have some rough idea, and so I can translate for our American listeners. Advertisement is actually advertisement in our vulgar tongue that we speak here in the States. And this is probably going to be the hardest part, right?
Absolutely. Because companies, more and more, they don't include salary data on that. I can't say the word at all now, on their ads.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why, because in my experience as a recruiter, putting the salary data on an ad cut out a number of people who were right. either on the too low side or the too high side, but it's definitely a trend. So if you're thinking, I might want to pay a rise in the next 6 months, it's worth signing up for the jobs feeds as if you were actually looking, so that you have jobs to sift through.
Okay, so explain that though. You're being a high D here a little too much. By the way, folks, when Wendy says she can't understand why people don't list pay as a high D, Wendy is somebody who likes facts and likes to move quickly, whereas most companies, the people who write the job descriptions tend to be aspirational, high I people, and they don't want to rule anybody out. They want thousands and thousands and thousands because they might find an unpolished gem in the big pile of sludge, which they never do, but they continue to believe that it's possible. Because they're high eyes and that's the way they are. But now go back, you just skip right over. It's worth signing up for job feeds. Explain that.
So when you are on the job board, such as Indeed.com, you can sign up, make an account, and tell it, send me all the jobs that meet these criteria. And every day, the software behind it looks at all the jobs that have been added and they email them to you so that you can see them. So you want to sign up for maybe a couple of those. It'll give you a good idea of what's going on in the market, which is always a good thing. But you just want to look through those. And when you see one that matches your job, the job you have, and it has a salary, you kind of want to bring that one out, save the ad, save all the information that goes with it so that you can have it for your raise conversation and say, this is an example. This is exactly the same as my job and that person, the salary is 5,000 more.
Good. Okay. But then we come to the dark side of this, salary compression.
Yeah. The actual amount to ask for is kind of subtle because there's the whole negotiation of asking for slightly more than you think you'll get. And do you trade off benefits against salary and all sorts of things. So we're going to cover that separately. But for now, we just want to give you the word of warning. If the averages come out much higher than your current salary, don't get too excited because you don't get 20% raises within companies.
Yeah, unless you're going to get a promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you stay in a company, your salary increases move much more slowly than the salaries do in the outside world. So if you look at the last five raises you've had, and you looked at the changes in salary that's being advertised over the same time, salary advertisements would have risen much more quickly than your salary.
Yeah.
And that's because any company that needs a new marketing analyst has to compete with the market, and your company is not competing with the market for you.
Yeah, at least in the real world, in the actual economy, they are competing with the market, but they don't think of themselves that way because there's a barrier to exit. And the barrier to exit is having an offer from someplace else. The actual underlying economic way of describing this, the way an economist would describe this, guys, is that new companies need to compensate you for your loss of goodwill. And goodwill is what you have at your company because you know where the coffee machine is and you know who your boss is and your boss trusts you and you can get something printed on short notice and you know somebody in the graphics department who can do things fast and you have a reputation and you're trusted and you have colleagues that believe in you, and you won't have that at the new firm. You'll have to rebuild that. And so if you didn't have that, if you were just a commodity, and commodities tend to be priced, everybody tends to pay the same price on any given day. If you were a commodity, then the market would be completely liquid. And if that were the case, then there would be no salary compression. But you're not a commodity. and the market is not liquid. And so therefore, other companies have to entice you to come to work for them for more. That's why we often see somebody coming in. Wendy comes in to do a job at my level, and I discover she's making $20,000 more than me. She's making the same as me at her other company, but in order to hire her, my company had to offer her more to pay her for her goodwill. And then I go to my boss and say, hey, I deserve more money. And the growth of companies and then several other factors led to the creation of salary bands where, you know, it wasn't X amount that you get paid in a job. There was a range. And the top range of one job might, in fact, be above the top of one range might be above the bottom of the range of the job above it. And that creates complications and it vexes HR people all the time. And that goodwill, everyone always underestimates it.
In fact, we got an email from someone just this week saying, yeah, I just moved to a new company and boy, do I miss that goodwill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And people think, oh, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to get to know things. Boy, you don't do that when you go to a new company. You work way harder. You shake mm-hmm. hands with everybody and you feel, if you're not naturally a people person, your first 90 days should wear you out. And what a lot of people do in the first 90 days, even as we tell them, stay frosty, don't make any big moves, what they then say is, I'm not going to do a lot. And they underinvest in their relationships in the first 90 days, and then they get behind on building their goodwill. Yeah. So, sorry, I took us off track, but I knew you were going to get to goodwill. And it's something, I remember the first time I learned about it at Procter & Gamble, and I just went, wow. You know, I recently mentioned in things, I think my weekly newsletter for licensees, I made a note that, you know, when I was 25, I thought I knew what was going on. And I led men, and I had a budget, and things were good. Then when I turned 30, I discovered I really didn't know anything when I was 25. But now that I was 30, I really, really knew what was going on. Yeah. And then I hit 35 and discovered that I really didn't know anything when I was 30. But now, at 35, and I repeat this process, folks, if you haven't figured it out yet, I repeat this process every 5 years. And so when I discovered this about goodwill, I just shook my head and said, of course that's true. Of course it's so obvious. The economics are irrefutable. But I didn't know. And I had made all sorts of pronouncements and decisions and had thoughts and opinions based on my lack of knowledge. So that's why Career Tools is here to help you with this stuff. So don't expect when you ask for a raise to get what the market is offering, because the market is going to reimburse you for something that you don't lose when you stay at your company. Good. So wrap us up.
So use Google, use pay comparison websites, look at the labor statistics, find and use the specific examples, and don't forget salary compression. When you've done this, just hold it, and we'll tell you in the next cast what to do with it.
And I know this isn't difficult. How long did it take you?
It took me 90 minutes, and I was writing the cast at the same time.
Yeah. So this kind of stuff, particularly for those of you who are more dot your I's and cross your T's, folks, you want to do this so you can feel more confident and you can prepare your description of why you deserve it in a way that's a little bit more factual rather than just, I deserve it. And it may not be difficult, but it's definitely worth it. Yeah. Good. Thanks, Wendy.
Okay. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Simple cast, but important guidance. Hope you enjoyed it. Come back next week.